I'm glad to see all of y'all here. And, well, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. And I'm glad that we're all here, assembled with one another. Evan brought us that lesson last week about being assembled. Well, it was great. And so, good morning. And I hope that this is a great week for y'all and that y'all are able to accomplish much. And so, as y'all know, we've been going over how to study the Bible. And so this morning we're going to continue on the subject of biblical silence, And so with this in mind, could y'all please meet me in Romans 14 and verse 23. Again, that's Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. And we usually go to this passage to define what sin is, and rightfully so. Okay. For y'all barely coming in, we're in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. And glad to see y'all here this morning. Okay. So when it comes to biblical silence, this is a great passage to go to. And I want to preface this by reminding y'all of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, where the Bible clearly teaches, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And we know that, of course, that that's not a blind leap in the dark, because how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing the things that are written. So what God has revealed in His inspired word, that's what we live by. That's how we conduct ourselves by. And so if we go out of those boundaries, well, we are sinning, according to this verse. It says, "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from sin is, for whatever is not from faith is sin." And so if we don't act in accordance with the word of God, simply that is sin, according to this verse. And so we ought to be going by the things that are written. And of course, as y'all know, there's three things that we go by. We go by commands, we go by implications, and approved examples in the scriptures for how we conduct our living and worship. And so with this being said, I would like for us to look at an example in the scriptures about biblical silence. It's in Joshua chapter 6. Whenever the children of Israel are marching around Jericho. Now, there was a prescribed way to do this. And if they went outside of those boundaries, well, then the walls wouldn't have fell down. Did you want to say something? Oh, okay. I was making sure. So in Joshua chapter 6, starting at verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 5 real quick. And Joshua, if you don't mind, do you think you could read these first five verses?
Joshua 6, 1 through 5. "Then now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him."
Thank you for that, brother. And so right here, this is a great example of biblical silence, because, there's just one way that we say it. We only speak when God tells us to speak, and we're silent where the Bible is silent. And this is a great example of that, because they were told when to speak. They were told when to act. But if that sign, it didn't go on, well then, they weren't to do anything. Now, let's go down to verse 10. In verse 10, it says, "Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout." Now drop down to verse 20. Now we see this come to fulfillment. It says, "So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." And so right here, we learn that they were to march around the city one time for the first 6 days, and then on the seventh day, they were to march around it seven times. And whenever they heard the priest sound the long trumpet, then that's when they were to make a sound. But if they would have made any type of other sound, that would not have been authorized. That would not be what God had commanded. And so we've got to do exactly what God has said in the way that He has said it. And we all know that. And so, is there any comment so far? So I'm going to bring up an example that we've heard time and time again. It's about Noah. It's about Noah whenever he builds the ark. And we know that God told him to make it out of gopher wood according to certain dimensions. And if he would have done anything else, that wouldn't have been authorized. And it's not that God has to say, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. Well, once he says to do one thing, that excludes everything else. Now, with this being said, could we go to, Genesis 6, you're saying?
6 or 7.
Well, yes, that's right, brother. That was in Genesis chapter 6, whenever that was being spoken about. Well, I know that Ryan has gone over this biblical silence for the last two classes, and so we'll give some application real quick, and then we'll keep moving forward. And so the application, I would like for us to go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 9 and 10. And if you're taking notes, then you can put in reference 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And this is dealing with, let's say, modesty, with dressing. And so we want to learn about how we are to apply, biblical silence. And it's not only to one area of life. Many people will apply it to mechanical instruments of music and worship and saying, we can't find no authority for that in the New Testament. And that's rightfully so. But there's way more things in the Christian life that we can apply biblical silence to, and we've got to be consistent with it, because we can't only apply it into one area and not another. It has to be all areas of life. So now, over here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 8, we learn here, it says, "In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel," it says, with propriety and moderation, "not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." And so simply here, I want to point out about modesty. Okay? Now, some people may come up to you and say, how short is too short of a dress? But the actual question should be, how long is long enough? We know that back in Genesis chapter 3, whenever Adam had sold for himself and his wife fig coverings, that the Lord had actually made them coverings of their own, so the clothing that they had put on, it wasn't sufficient. Now, it's not how short is too short, but it's how long is too long. And some people may try to come up to the preacher or even the elders, and they might say, is this what I'm doing right in life? Or should I be doing something else? And well, it's not for the preacher or the elder to decide, but actually we got to go to the scriptures and find out if what we're doing, if it's in line with the word of God, because each of us shall give account to himself, to God. Romans 14 and verse 12. Anything on that? Okay. Did you have a comment back there? Okay. Okay, so moving on from here, whenever it comes to biblical silence, could y'all please turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28. And this is a familiar passage right here. Whenever people will talk about once saved, always saved. Okay? Once saved, always saved. Now, in John chapter 10, verse 27 through 28, and let me give y'all some context. This is when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the temple, standing in Solomon's porch during the feast of dedication while it was winter. That's according to verse 22 and 23. Now, let's see what he says to the Jews of his day. Now it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." It says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." And so, right here, we learn about the type of sheep that is being talked about, the one that is never going to be snatched out of his hand. Well, it's the sheep, according to verse 27, that they, number one, they hear his voice, and number two, they follow him. And so whenever it comes to biblical silence, well, we can only work with what God has told us, not with what God has not told us. The important question is, how does the Bible authorize? And well, simply, it authorizes by what it says and not by what it doesn't say. I'm reminded that Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say," not the things which he has not said. And we also know that Jesus would say the word, or he says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word has that which judges him. The word which I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day." And in James 1 verse 22, it says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only." So we can only be doers of that which is written, and we aren't to go beyond that. We learn that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, whenever Paul, when writing to the church at Corinth, would say, "Well, these things I have in a figure transferred to Apollos and myself, that you may learn in us not to go beyond that which is written." And so we got to stay in the boundaries of what is here on the printed page. And we know that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness, so we're lacking nothing. And there's really no gray areas. I know how people will say that. But, well, we've got what is written, and everything else is excluded because that's not of faith. Because remember, we walk by faith. And how does that faith come? By hearing. It's the written word. Yes, Brother Royce. Yes.
That's what's known as, we often refer to as the law of exclusion.
Okay.
When there's something that's specified, everything else is excluded.
Yes.
Let's give a quick example of that, or to make it quicker.
Okay.
One from the scriptures and one from everyday life.
Yes, sir.
So that we understand how we can apply that, the silence there. So you go to Genesis chapter 6 and you read about the instructions that God gives Noah in the building of the ark. So would Noah have been doing what God told him to do if he said, "Okay, I built it exactly like this, but you didn't say I couldn't put a skylight in it"?
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't. He would not have been doing it according to God's plan.
That's right.
God was silent about something in the roof, so to speak, to give him extra light. He was silent on that.
Yes.
Let's take this to everyday common sense reasoning situation. You go to a restaurant and you get the menu and you look at the menu and you say, "Okay, I want the ribeye steak, baked potato, and salad." Okay, so we're going to assume everybody here would like something like that. Yeah. Okay, so you get that, and you tell the white person, whether male or female, this is what I want. Well, about 10 minutes later, all of a sudden, the whole white staff comes out, and they're carrying out tray after tray after tray of all these different things, pile them on your table, and your response is, wait a minute, what are you doing here?
Mm.
Well, we're bringing your order. Well, I didn't order this stuff. I only ordered this. Well, but you didn't say we could bring this to you. See, the silence answers what was specified, deals with the silence too. I cannot imagine what that bill would look like. But if everything else on the menu, they're bringing it to you. You know, on the state highways, you're driving 75 miles an hour. It doesn't, sign doesn't have to say it. By the way, don't drive 80 and don't drive 85 and don't drive 90 and don't drive right on up to whatever you're speaking to your car, your speed will actually achieve. They specify. And you can't go to a judge and say, well, the sign didn't say I couldn't do that. So we use it every day, the silence of it, the common sense reasoning of it.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that, brother. And so, yes, the silence of the scriptures, it's very important. And sometimes whenever it's a topic that hits close to home, and that's when we might want to get away from it. But no, we still got to apply it. We still got to obey the word of God, even though it may go against what we feel is right. Because we've always got to go to what the word says. And I would like to say something real quick about this silencing of the scriptures about, well, we want to obey God. We want to love him. And did you know that love, it's not a feeling. It's a choice. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so we want to obey. We want to love the one who died for us. We've got to obey the scriptures. Now, going on from this, I would like for us to talk about, well, let's see, some expediency. Literally, where God has commanded for us to do some things, now we've got to use our best judgment to see about how to go about fulfilling what he has said. And so, well, we can go to, let's see, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, when it comes to assembling. When it comes to assembling. Now, Brother Jaden, when you get there, could you please read this verse for us?
And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, he preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight.
Thank you. And so whenever it comes to expediency in this one, well, we think about how we're to meet on the first day of the week. And Evan already went over this greatly. I really don't need to go into too much. So, well, the elders have decided that we've got a certain time that we're going to meet. And so, well, we've got the building. And, well, to work with everyone's time, we've, well, scheduled the 9:30 Bible class. Then we've got the 10:30 worship. And, that's the expediency. God has given us a command to meet upon the first day of the week. Now, they've used their judgment and, well, decided that these would be some decent times that will work with everyone's schedule. And so that's like a simple way to explain the expediency of it. I really didn't have too much time to, like, read into that part of it. Is there any comments that y'all have to make about any Bible expediency? Any expediency? Yes.
God has not authorized it. You can't truly, biblically speaking, expedite something.
Hmm.
You can't do that with you. You can't do something in the efficient way that God never authorized it.
Thank you for saying that. I remember reading that in the How to Study the Bible book. And, okay. As we go on from this, I would like for us to go to the book of Ephesians. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and then let's go to verse, let's see, Well, about verse 19, Ephesians 5 and verse 19, because we've got some members in the audience, and so I think I would want to hit on this real quick. And so whenever it comes to the silencing of the scriptures and mechanical instruments of music and Christian worship, well, we could go down the street and we could see five different churches, one on this corner, one on that corner, and they're all teaching a different doctrine. They're all using these big old organs and stuff like that. But because people do things, it doesn't make it right. Especially when it comes to the Word of God, we want to have it to be authorized. And so when we read right here in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, it says, speaking to one another, and there's going to be three categories right here of music, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And there's a sister passage with this that is going to be Colossians 3 and verse 16. So Colossians 3 and verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It says, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And so, if you're taking notes, you can put, when it comes to the instruments of music and worship and how they're not authorized, you can put Hebrews 2, verse 12. You can also think back to when Jesus was, after He had instituted the Lord's Supper in Matthew chapter 26, the Bible says that in verse 30, that they had sung a hymn, and then they went out to the Mount of Olives. And so whenever it comes to mechanical instruments of music and worship, I remember how Brother Tobias had once told me, well, if we're to use mechanical instruments of music and worship, then that doesn't mean that we've only got a band up there and everyone else is going to stay quiet. Well, if one has to do it, then we all have to do it. We all have to play a guitar, a flute, a tambourine, and stuff like that. But that's not how it is. Rather, it is vocal music. And when you think about it, the way that God did this, it's so great, because back then they didn't have electricity. They couldn't plug in a guitar and start jamming out with some speakers. Well, God made it to where nowadays, even if we didn't have this building, we were sitting under a tree, we could still worship God in spirit and in truth. The same thing when it comes to the bread and the fruit of the vine, when it comes to worship, well, those things you can find anywhere. And so the way that God had set it up for Christian worship, we can do it anywhere, but only on the first day of the week. Yes, Mr. Pete.
Just from the aesthetic standpoint.
Okay.
I've come from a church that had a band for the last 8 or 9 years. I very much enjoy just hearing voices.
Yes. And you, oh wait, were you finished?
Yes.
Okay. So, well, I thank you for sharing that. And, well, some of y'all might know, but most of y'all might not know. Well, I didn't grow up around the church. I didn't grow up in the church, if I could say it that way. Well, I had actually been at a denomination for a little bit before I learned the truth. And they used to play music with instruments. They used to have all these like lights and stuff like that. Now, when you think about it, most people, they're not focused on what God has authorized. They're going off of what makes me feel good. And when we think about worship, it's not that we're the audience. God's the audience. He's the ones that is receiving. We come to offer up spiritual sacrifice. God gets the glory. He gets the honor. He gets the praise. We come to show deep respect to His name when it comes to worship. And so, Brother Josh. Yep.
So also, these verses, they don't authorize musical instruments, rightly so, but they also don't authorize all types of sound that we make with our mouths. So they authorize speaking to one another, they authorize teaching and admonishing, so actual words. They don't authorize humming, booing, and hawing, things that are not for the purpose of edification. Also, in the context of 1 Corinthians 14, they have to be understood.
Yes.
So it doesn't authorize me just sitting here humming and booing and hawing, because it's not teaching anybody, and it's not understandable.
I appreciate you for saying that, because you made me think about... Go ahead, Miguel.
What is that verse that says that in habits are worship or something about how the Lord through our worship to our suffering, in habits are worship or...
So the only verse that I could think of right now, I would say it would be in Hebrews chapter 13, and this might be what you're saying, in Hebrews 13 verse 15. This is actually another verse for singing in worship, a cappella. And when you think about the word a cappella, it simply means in the style of the church. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, it says, "Therefore by him," that is Jesus Christ, "let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." And so, when you think about, well, when we sing in worship, it's not that we're playing on guitar strings, but rather, this is more beautiful, we're playing on our heart strings. And I even think I heard a brother say that whenever we sing, it like sends vibrations. Like, that's like, I guess, if you want to call that, like, maybe some type... Actually, here, let me not go too deep into that if I don't know what I'm saying right there. But yeah, these are some verses about when it comes to, well, singing and worship. And that's completely foreign to what the religious world teaches. Brother Larry? Okay. That's
exactly. I'll summarize it. Don't go beyond what's written.
Yes.
You don't find a written commandment in the New Testament concerning playing instruments, or is it, but the commandment is given to sing. If we go back to Leviticus 10:1-2,
yes.
They did that notice which God did not command. We're to keep His commandments. He didn't command it. We don't have the authority. Colossians 3:16-17.
Thank you for that, Brother Eric.
I was going to say that some of us men sing in bass, and that's the vibrations that come from our voice. It does give that sound of vibrations, the man's voice and being deep.
Well, I appreciate you for that, because I wasn't able to finish it right there. Did you have your hand up?
Well, in the Old Testament,
yes,
there are numerous instruments.
Yes.
We talk about people who talk, they have even classes that have musical instruments. And because they have them so often, as we read through the New, I didn't really list them all. I mean, you know, the harps and the all kinds of instruments. But the very fact that they had so many instruments in the Old Testament and none in the New should convince people that you don't need instruments in the New Testament.
And I appreciate you, Brother Larry's, because both of the Larry's made that comment, and it made me think about how, well, people still think that we're under the law of Moses. And when you think about the law of Moses, they'll usually go to the Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20. And well, there's Ten Commandments, but they're actually a summarization of the whole 613 that Moses then goes on to write. And so it's not only 10, that's only like a summarization. And then Moses goes into all of the law. And well, we know that Jesus said He did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but He came to fulfill it. He came to fill it full. And when you think about John 19 and verse 30, it says that Jesus, whenever he was up there on the cross, he said it was fulfilled. And so when you read in the book of Colossians, you learn that, well, Christ nailed that old covenant to the law, that Old Testament. And so we're not under it. And, well, no one ever had kept it except for the Christ, the anointed of God, because, well, we weren't able to do it, sadly. And so now we're not under that old covenant. We're under the New Testament. Well, Christ shed his blood for that testament. Brother, Sister Maureen. Thank you for saying that, because you reminded me about what Mr. White had said about how, well, you know, we don't need to go by like titles, because I mean, everyone in the Lord's church is simply a minister, if I could put it that way. We're all servants. And so whenever you think about them putting the chorus up there, well, you've got the attention averted. It's on that chorus. But actually, well, the attention is not supposed to be on us. It's on God. We're all important. We all sing together. Okay. Brother Josh.
That verse that they were mentioning earlier about the Lord inhabiting the praises, mm-hmm. from Psalm 22, verse 3. It says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." So simply, it just means that God or the Lord is the audience. Other translations would say, like King James says, enthroned in the praises of Israel. That kind of understanding.
Thank you for that. Did you hear that, McGill? It was Psalm 22 and verse 3. That's the verse you were referencing to. Psalm 22 and verse 3. And it's something because, well, many people... Did you have your hand up? No? Okay. It's something because many people will go back to the book of Psalms to say, well, we can use instrumental music because David did it. Well, David also murdered Uriah the Hittite and took his wife and committed adultery with her. But we're not going to do that. So, yeah, the Old Testament, it's done away with. We're in the New Testament. Literally the new law, the law of Christ, according to Galatians 6 and verse 2. According to Galatians 6 and verse 2. And so with this being said, could y'all please go with me to John 4 and verse 24. John 4 and verse 24. And so right here in John 4 and verse 24, and we know this verse, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. We worship according to the written word. We're not to add to it, subtract from it, or replace any of it. And so when you think about the word, well, spirit, the right attitude, truth, the right action. Okay. So when it comes to the silencing of the scriptures, could y'all please turn with me to, let's see, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. And so, when we think about the Old Testament, they were to give a tenth. They were to give a tithe. But now under the New Testament, we don't have anywhere in the New Testament where that's found, where we're to give a tenth. And so the silencing of the scriptures, well, what does it command for us to do? Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. This is what God has authorized. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And so, as we usually go to in the Lord's Supper, in the collection, we go to 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7 to determine the attitude. And nowhere do we find the mention of, giving a tithe. It's only as someone has prospered in their heart. It says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And so right here, we don't read anything else about tithing. We only read about giving on the first day of the week, and it's as the Lord has prospered him, as a man has placed in his heart, has purpose in his heart. Any questions? Let me see what time it is. Okay. It's 10:07, and then we stop about 15 minutes till, right? A quarter after? 15 after? Okay. Okay. Yes, sir. And so, is there any comments? Any comments? Okay. Well, I'm going to be honest. I really was on a time crunch, and I know that there's no excuse. I want to ask y'all to please forgive me, but I really don't want to go on no more because I really don't got no more else to say. Yeah, and I don't want to ramble on. But yeah. Okay. Well, class is dismissed.